Been basking in that all day long. Got emails today from people that listened to it, and they said, wow. That's what I say, wow. Brother Roger and I was talking last night for a message. I said, boy, I never heard that before. I said, I hadn't either. I wonder how many other million things are in there that we don't know about. Stay the book. Enjoy the journey. Darren, we love you. Our son, Darren Walter, pastor at Bethel Baptist Church in Spruce Pine.
A blessing. I said, isn't he a blessing? He's blessing. I love you, Pastor. I love that song, One of These Days. Enoch was a was not. There's tie knots, Cosby knots, astronauts, judge me knots, but one day we're going to be a was not. Amen. Isn't that great? Have your Bibles, Acts chapter 12. Remain standing if you can. Acts chapter number 12. Got our taxes ready. Gave them to our wife. We took off to do Lord's work that day, and she's going to drop off the taxes. I come home at the end of the day. My wife said, I said, you take the taxes? She said, I took the taxes. Now you take the taxes. I said, what? She said, I could not leave him with that man. You're going to have to go see him yourself. I said, do what? So the next day I went down there, and he said, so you're a preacher? I went, here we go. He said, that part where the Bible says there'll be two in the field, one will be taken, the other shall be left. Which one you want to be? I said, I got a better question. Which one do you want to be? He said, I want to be one left behind. I said, I have good news. You will be. Amen. My heart's heavy tonight. I told Brother Aaron sitting on the front row with me tonight to pray. My heart is heavy. Was up much of the night last night with this thought. There is someone on my heart. Someone on my heart. Acts chapter 12, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god, and not of a man, 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 man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. From this text, someone on my heart. Father, I thank you for what you did for Peter that night, locked in the prison cell. I thank you for what you did for James. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing for the saints of God. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing round about Fletcher, First Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our family. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this old boy's heart. Lord, I love you. And I thank you, God, for leaving me awake and having me to pray and burdening me. Lord, it's hard, but it's a blessing to have a burden. And God, tonight we come to preach with someone on our heart. And God, I lift that need, that burden to you, Father. You know what's needful. And I know the Holy Ghost, with groanings which cannot be uttered, he makes intercession. And there's one at your right hand side, Father, named Jesus, who ever liveth to make intercession. Lord, I ask your help tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. From this wonderful text, we see much about the ministry. Three things quickly. First of all, we see some ministering servants. We see James and Peter. James, we know, has been delivered to heaven because Herod has chopped his head off. And we know that Simon Peter was delivered too. He was delivered, amen, by the angel of the Lord to see another day upon this earth. One time at the church house, the preacher had asked, "How many of y'all want to go to heaven?" And about everybody raised their hand but one little 12-year-old boy. He said, "I said again," maybe he didn't hear the question, "How many of you want to go to heaven?" And that same little boy wouldn't raise his hand. When the service was over, the preacher met him at the back and said, "Son, I noticed you didn't have your hand up tonight. Son, don't you want to go to heaven?" He said, "Preacher, I do. I just thought you was trying to get a load tonight." Amen. Amen. We see some ministering servants. Then think about some ministering spirits. We see the angels. They obviously are involved when the Lord came, when James's head was chopped off and the Lord came to take him home. I'm sure there were angels camped round about him, amen, that helped escort James's soul right on to heaven. Thank God for that. And then the angel of the Lord came and he laid his hand upon Simon Peter and raised him up and the chains fell off from his hand. And then I'm also thinking about the angel of the Lord that smote Herod when Herod gave not God the glory. And I begin to think about how many times you and I did not give God the glory. And I sure am thankful he's been merciful unto us. I was reading out of Genesis chapter 32 about a man by the name of Jacob. He was on his way back to meet his brother Esau, who he had done wrong. And when he came to a place called Mahanaim, the Bible said the angel of the Lord, the host of the Lord, met Jacob in that place. I'm glad, thank God tonight, that we're not in the battle alone. God has angels encamped around us, and he's going to help us through. I see some ministering servants, and I see some ministering spirits. But I'm interested in verse 5 of this chapter in the ministering saints that we see. While Peter was in that prison, he was kept in the prison. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The greatest indication of your spiritual condition is your prayer life. How is your prayer life? How is the wind blowing in your prayer life? Might I ask tonight? Can I just remind you that when Moses prayed, the Red Sea parted. When Joshua prayed, time stood still. When Hezekiah prayed, God killed 185,000. How's your prayer life? Their prayer life was unceasing. Their prayer life was unselfish. Their prayer life was united. This little boy, he was born into a family that had an old horse, and he grew up with that horse, and now that horse is aged and not able to get round anymore. He's got a sway in his back and a hitch in his giddy up, and a man came and said, "That's probably the ugliest horse I've ever seen." And the little boy said, "He's the greatest horse that's ever been." The man said mockingly, "I guarantee you that that horse cannot run fast." The little boy said, "No, he can't run fast, but he can stand fast." Hello? I'm telling you tonight, you may say, "Preacher Darren, I can't do this, I can't do that. I'm not able to get in the choir, I'm not able to get on my knees in altar. Preacher, there's not a whole lot I can do." I tell you what you can do tonight, amen. You can pray, amen. That's what God expects of his people, is to communicate with the throne room. Amen. There's some things that happen when God's people pray. First of all, you will see the salvation of your loved one. Now, let's just say this. Peter has been arrested. I don't know if he's the pastor. We know he's an apostle. We know he's a minister. He's been a help to that church that's gathered. They're praying for him back there. But Peter, I know he's saved, but he's also a picture of someone who's lost, because look, he's bound in chains. When I was lost, I was bound in chains of sin. When I was lost, I was in darkness. He's in darkness in that prison cell. Simon Peter, if you'll note, the text is also asleep. When I was lost, I was spiritually asleep, dead in trespasses and in sins. But when God's people got to praying, the Lord began to hem and began to hedge and began to work in Simon Peter's life and sent the angel and got him free. Might I say it like this? When I was lost, I heard across the hallway two people that were praying for me. My mom and my dad. And they'd call out my name. "Save our boy. Save Darren. Convict him. Save him for your sake." Hey, I sure am glad that I was a someone that was on their heart. I believe I've got a Sunday school teacher that was just called home to glory just in the last few days who prayed for me. Hey, man, I just remind you tonight, you were on someone's heart. They prayed for you. And God did a work. Oh, no, preacher, Darren, I got in on my own accord. Lord God, you didn't. Jesus, when he was on the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was praying for you and was praying for me that we'd get saved. Amen. Oh, I tell you, when you begin to pray, things happen. Here's our problem in our churches, and this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing churches that want to petition. They want to petition. They want to politic. They want to protest. They want to pout. They want to pretend. They want to be proud. They want to be presumptuous. But I'm telling you, honey, none of those things will get the job done. We need a church that'll get back on her knees and get to praying again and quit the politicking, quit the pouting, quit the panicking, quit being proud, and start going back to praying and seeking the face of God. My Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of waters, and he turneth it about whithersoever he will. Hear me tonight, if you're a Calvinist, you're in trouble. My Bible still says, whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord. And if you'll call on the name of the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I think about preacher Mack Hodge. Boy, I love Brother Mack. Brother Mack Hodge went home to glory many years back. Brother Mack was asked to come to a church and preach revival. He was there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, started praying in the prayer room. And on Thursday night, he said to the men in the prayer room before they prayed, he said, gentlemen, why has your pastor not come to the prayer room one time this entire time? And they said, you know, come to think of it, he don't ever come to the prayer room. He said, oh, bless God, I'm going to go ask him. Got his Bible up under his arm, went out to the front with a pastor was shaking hands with the people coming in and said, son, can I talk to you? And they stepped over to the side. He said, I want to ask you something. Why don't you pray? He said, old man, prayer doesn't make any difference. Prayer doesn't make any change in anything. He said, I guess you think your preaching is accomplishing something. He said, the way I'm seeing it, God's already got this thing set up. Me and you don't have anything to do with it. He said, thank you, son. He got his Bible back under his arm, went back there to the prayer room, and he said, all I want to say, fellas, is you've got an infidel for a pastor, and I'm out of here till you get rid of him. And he left. And the pastor got up and said, I don't know where our evangelist has taken off to tonight. I mean, this has seemed to be something's bad wrong. And let me tell you something. They went to a quorum and got to asking him some questions. And they voted the pastor out on site that night, called Brother Mack to come back, and God saved double digits in about 2 weeks when God got in that thing. Let me tell you something. You better make sure that what you have behind the pulpit is a bona fide, genuine man called of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, seeking God's face, praying over you, praying over the message, laboring in the Lord, amen. That's what our churches have got to have. This is not some career choice. This is the calling of the Most High God, and we ought to value it as such, amen. Lord, have mercy, I want to run the pews tonight so bad. Let me tell you, I was invited to the hospital by this lady and her sister. I had to come see their daddy who was dying in the hospital. I'd got there and I'd visited with him and I said, can I pray with you? He said, I don't believe in that stuff. I said, I want to tell you something. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And he said, stop right there. Get out of my room. I don't want you to pray for me. I stepped outside into the hallway and I just prayed outside in the hallway. Let me tell you something. I didn't pray silent prayer. I prayed out loud. I may have got on the doctor's nerves and the nurse's nerves, but I prayed for them to minister to him, and I prayed for the Holy Ghost to minister to him. I come back on Monday night, same thing. Asked him about praying for him, told him the ways of sin is death. He kicked me out again. I prayed again. Come back on Tuesday night, same thing. About 6 o'clock Wednesday night, his daughter called me and said, are you not coming to see Daddy today?
I said, well, I've come three straight nights, and the Lord just told me to leave that alone and me to focus on studying to preach for the prayer meeting tonight. And she said, well, preacher, my daddy's asking where you are. He said, the preacher always comes somewhere around 4 o'clock, and he ain't come today. Where's the preacher at? I need to see him. Call him. I need to see him real bad. When I got there to him, I run up there real quick, called somebody, said, I'll be late for church. Run to the hospital real quick, and went into where he was. He said, preacher, where you been? I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I was getting ready for prayer meeting tonight. He said, preacher, I've been studying. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's what the Bible says. I don't know him as Lord. I don't know him as Savior. Don't know what to do. Preacher, yeah, I've heard you every night. I've told you don't pray, but you went outside. I heard you praying outside, and the Lord started working in here, and the tears was running down his face. He said, I can't stand it no more. How can I get saved? Amen. And he got in. Amen. When the church was praying for him, God got something done, amen. God began to heal him in the hedge in his life and his heart, and God used prayer to do it. I began to think about one night I was in Burnsville, North Carolina, preaching in the meeting, and don't get worried, but the service was at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We'd had, I don't know, 9 or 10 had been saved, maybe 12, I don't know, but an old gentleman came up and said, Preacher Darren, I want you to pray for me, much like last night when the service was over. We were called up to pray about a situation and a need when the service was over. I came up to pray. I asked all the deacons to gather around and anybody that had faith to gather around, and I listened to what that man said. That man said, Preacher, this has been one more meeting tonight. He said, but me and my house were in trouble. He said, I got a boy who's AWOL. I got a grandson. I've never met him. My boy won't bring him around. He's disconnected from me. Preacher, will you pray that the Holy Ghost would go get my boy and bring him and let me see my grandson? Preacher, would you pray that God would save my family? How we began to pray that night. And we dismissed the service then about 10:30, stood at the back and shook hands. I got home well after 11 o'clock that night, and I come back the next night for the prayer room at 6:45 was the old prayer grove that they had out there in the woods. And when I got out there, they was rejoicing when I got there. And that man looked at me and he said, Preacher, what do you think? I said, Hallelujah. He said, I mean, what do you think? I said, Praise the Lord. He said, You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? I said, Hallelujah. I said, Praise the Lord. What do you want to tell me? He said, Preacher, when I got home around 11 o'clock last night, guess who was sitting in my driveway? I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I'd really prayed the prayer of faith, hadn't I? I believe that God would do something for him out yonder somewhere. But I didn't know God was doing it while we was praying. While we was praying, that boy was already headed home and had gotten the driveway before his daddy did, knocked on the door, couldn't get in the house, was worried absolutely to death when his daddy drove up, saw the car sitting there, and his boy put his arms around him and said, Daddy, it's so good to see you, but where have you been? He said, Son, I've been praying for you. Hey, I'm just trying to say, prayer will bring your loved ones in, amen. That man said to me in the prayer grove that night, he said, Preacher, my boys come. I met my grandson for the first time last night. They're in the church house tonight, Preacher. I'm praying for you. You talk about pressure. I'm praying for you. But we put that pressure on the Lord Jesus Christ. Preached that night. Guess who got saved? His grandson got saved. And when everybody came up to hug his neck and to love on him, guess who fell at his feet? His daddy did, amen. And his daddy got saved. And more people got saved. I'm just trying to tell you, church, I'm trying to encourage you, prayer will change things. Do you get my drift? I was getting ready to preach a women's meeting over in Spruce Pine. We have a women's meeting over there. They'll have 250 women from 7 states. And on Saturday, I preached that. I'm telling you, I preached that group. I was scared. I was anxious. I was nervous. I was fretful. I was just pacing in the back. Listen, I was in the back. You don't, listen, 250 women, you better sit way back in the back, amen. You better be ready to preach, amen, when you get up there. I sent them back there, and I'd close my eyes like this. And, oh, God, help me. I was just kind of pacing. Somebody grabbed me by my forearm. I looked. It was Miss Sharon Yates. I looked at her, and I said, Yes, ma'am. She had tears running down her face. She said, "Preacher, I know you've been praying for my daddy. He's 85 years old." She said, "I just want to tell you, just the other day, said my daddy, 85, got saved. I've been praying for him for 40 some years. And the Holy Ghost told me to come back here and tell you about my daddy just getting saved." And man, I went rejoicing. I broke up the women's meeting, amen, shouting over somebody 85 years old getting saved. We've been praying years and years for that man to be saved. I'm going to tell you what, God makes a difference. In Pickens, South Carolina, during the revival meeting, two ladies came to the altar while the choir was up. People gathered around them to help pray with them. And then they prayed till they couldn't pray no more, and the people went back, but the ladies stayed. They got the special singers up. The ladies were still there. When the special singers finished, the ladies still there. They got the preacher up. The ladies is still there. When the preacher finished and the invitation was given, the ladies was still there. After people had come back and prayed with them again, the ladies was still there. And the pastor dismissed the service. The ladies was still there. And this is what they said. Now, I'm not advising that you do this unless God says so. But they said, "We're not leaving till God saves our boys. If we die right here, we are not leaving till God saves our boys." Praying and praying and praying. And at 12 o'clock at night in a little country church, the back door flew open. And you could hear the floor a squeaking. You can hear them old-timey churches. And we looked, and guess who was walking in? One of them's boy said, "Mama, where you been, Mama? Mama, we've been waiting for you to come home from church, and I wanted to check on you." She said, "Boy, I've been down here praying for your lost soul, that you'd get saved before it's too late." He said, "Mama, I want to get saved right now. My heart's about to beat out of my chest, Mama. I can't stand it no more." He got saved. Let me tell you what happened about 3 o'clock in the morning. The door flew open again and walked the other boy. "Mama, where you been? Son, I've been praying for you." He said, "Mama, why are you praying for me?" She said, "Because I want to see you get saved, son. I know you're living wayward against God. I know the Lord's been dealing with you, maybe dealing with you about preaching one day. But you got to get saved, son, and quit this running stuff and running with the world." And he fell on his knees and he said, "Mama, I want to get saved right now." And he got saved in the altar. What am I telling you? When the church gets someone on her heart, God will save our loved ones. We have got to get our burden back. The power of a praying church set Peter free by the grace of God. Number two, what will happen when the church gets together and prays? When you get someone on your heart, there'll be strength for your family. Preacher, I'm not following you. As the church was praying, God sent his angel and released Simon Peter. And Simon Peter came to the house back where the church was praying, and he knocked on the door. And my Bible says that a damsel, that is the diminutive feminine, means she's a little girl. The damsel named Rhoda came to the door, and this is what she said, glorified. "Who is it?" "It's Simon Peter. Let me in." Wow! She ran back to where they were praying and said, "Y'all get up, y'all get up, y'all get up. Hear that knocking? Simon Peter's at the door. The Lord set him free." And they said, "You're mad. Let me give you country for that. You crazy girl. You lost your ever-loving mind. Can't you see we're praying? Get away from us." But somebody was knocking. And they said, "It's his spirit. Herod has already killed him, and his spirit's just come by to say goodbye before it went on home to heaven." Rhoda said, "Uh-uh. It's Simon Peter. It's a pastor. It's a preacher. It's the man of God. He's knocking." Well, they're praying the prayer of faith in that church too, wasn't it? They prayed and thought, "Well, we'll just pray that God will lay it on Herod's heart to be merciful tomorrow when court convenes and let him go." God said, "Uh-uh. I am greater than your king. I am the King of Kings, and I control all things in my hand, and I set my man free. And now he's knocking on the door, let him in, and he began to explain to them how the Lord had sent his angel and opened the door and set him free. Now I want to say this to you. We need strength for our family. Everybody here that's 21 years old and under on a Monday night, stand up to your feet, please. If I was 21 and under, I guarantee you I'd be standing. Stand up. Don't be ashamed of that. Hallelujah. Look around. Y'all be seated. Do you know what they need to see? They need to see a church praying. And they need to see a God answering. They need to know what to do as they get older when hardship and adversity and difficulty comes. They need to know about a relationship with the Lord. Now, can you see little Rhoda, that little girl she grew up? And she's getting ready to go off to college, and her professor said there ain't no God. I mean, that praying business is a waste of time. That's just a manufactured emotional deal that they're doing down there at the church. There's nothing to this at all. Can you hear little Rhoda say, no, sir, You got to me one day too late. I already know what happened when my church was praying. When the man of God was locked up, his head was going to be chopped off. Let me tell you, God, amen, sent his angel and set the man of God free and brought him down there where we was praying. And he preached to us and told us about the grace of God and the goodness of God. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, world. You got to me one day too late because I done seen God working in the prayer life of God's people. These young people need to be strengthened in the faith, and it's done so by your prayers as they see God working in your lives. It was a family that moved out west, and they had absolutely no money, the pastor did. I mean, after a couple of years out there, His jacket was completely moth-eaten, could not keep him warm. A pastor's wife's shawl was tore all to pieces. They had a big lake out beside him. It's so cold up north and out west that the lakes are always frozen. But them little boys, they didn't have no skates to skate. And the little girl came to her mom and said, Mama, I want you to get me a red dress so I can look pretty at church. Mama, I want a little dolly. And the mama, she said, there's no way that we'll ever have enough money to get two pair of ice skates for my boys and to get a new red dress for my girl. There's no way I'll ever have enough money to buy her a little dolly. Why, it's all I can do every day when my husband leaves is to give him a little scripture and then to give him a little sugar as he leaves. And it got so bad, she said, I didn't even have scripture in my heart no more, and I hardly have any sugar left to give him as he left. And one day, she said, my husband came home, and when he came home, he sat down and he said, honey, even a dog doesn't get treated like I get treated. I don't have a coat good enough to keep me warm. I'm tattered and torn and freezing halfway to death. They sat down so discouraged, just weeping and weeping and weeping. It was getting really close to Christmas, and a knock came at the door. Was one of the deacons in their church. Said, there's this big chest came for y'all today. And he set it down in their living room and left. They all looked at each other. Didn't know where that came from. And popped the top on it. Opened it. There was a letter of encouragement from a church back east. It said, we had you on our heart. We're praying for you. And Daddy said, I got to go pray and ask God to forgive me. I'm so discouraged. I'm ashamed for the discouraging daddy that I've been before my children. I've got to get right with God. God has put me on somebody's heart. He come back in the room. The wife said, honey, let's go underneath that letter there and take that first blanket off and see what's there. And when they did, there was a brand new overcoat made out of wool that'd keep him nice and warm. And then underneath it was another one to keep him from getting wet. And he said, I've got to go pray again. Oh, I've been so discouraged. Oh, that God would ever forgive me. He just knew just exactly what I needed. When he finished praying, he came back out. And there was another blanket. They lifted that blanket out of the chest. And underneath it was a shawl for the pastor's wife that had been freshly knitted, just exactly what she needed. She looked at her husband. She looked at her children. She said, I got to go pray. She went back and began to get on her knees and said, God, forgive me for being so discouraged. Forgive me, I'm so ashamed of the way I've been acting. And she come back into the room after having some time with God. They lifted that next quilt off and underneath, two pair of skates. I want to tell you something, the boys were like, woohoo! Two new pair of skates. Just what we needed. Mom and Daddy said, let's go back, pray again. Oh God, please forgive us. They lifted off the next quilt. When they come back, guess what was underneath? There was a red dress and a brand new little doll for that little girl. And that little girl said, oh Mommy, look, it's just what we asked God for. I knew it would be in there. I knew it would be in there the whole time, because when you all pray, Mama, when you pray, Daddy, God answers. Woo! Hallelujah to God. And God gives us just what we need. Hey, we need to be a praying church and get to sing in God's face one more time. Amen. Thirdly, and I'll be done, verse 18. The Bible says, now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? Hey, thirdly, there's a stirring in the community when you get someone on your heart. You'll see the salvation of your loved ones. You'll see strength for your family, and you'll see a stirring in the community. There's no doubt Peter was stirred up. There's no doubt the church is stirred up. But now the whole community is getting stirred up. Come here, I want to tell you something. It's a secret. There's something bigger than us going on here. Some of y'all got it, but some in the back didn't. There's something bigger than us going on in this church. Jesus is at work. I was reading behind somebody the other day, and they said, if you've been to church three straight times and you've not been stirred, there's something wrong with you. It's time for you to get stirred up again. It's time for you to get excited again. It's time for you to get back on your knees and get praying again and get to believe in God again. I'd went down to Tuxedo. We'd been praying. We put a tent up down there, and we was preaching down there. I want to tell you something, in that meeting, on the grounds there, the old Tuxedo school, you could take, there's an outdoor water fountain and never could get no water out of it. We'd been praying and got down there to preach. Won't you know that first night, absolutely nothing happened. Two old dogs run through, killed the whole service. Man, it was deader than a hammer in there. We'd been praying, we'd been believing God, and nothing at all happened. And I was broken. I said to the men, I said, would y'all stay after? Let's go back up in the prayer grove. They said, well, we usually pray before church. I said, well, not, we're going to pray after. We went up there and began to pray. And we stood up, and God laid this on my heart. I said, men, I said, men, the Lord said he's not going to work in our community because there's hard feelings between people in different churches. This and left this church and went to that church because they're mad at somebody here. And now, because there's hard feelings, God's not working in our community. And I said, boys, God can't have it. If he's going to stir in our community and send us revival, we got to bury this thing tonight. I said it. One of them began to squall and said, it's me, preacher. I left. He told the name of the church. Said, I was mad at so-and-so, and he's right over there working. He said, will you forgive me? Man, I'm a low-down dog. Would you forgive me? He wrapped his arms around him. That brother met him. He said, let me tell you something. I forgive you, brother. I love you. I wouldn't have anything. And then one by one, there was men. I'm talking about grown men getting right with each other. The Holy Ghost fell. Amen. There was people running through the woods. We wasn't praying him. We was running through the briar patches like was a bunch of rabbits. I ran back down there and grabbed that fountain. And when I grabbed that thing, that water shot out of the top of that thing. It had not flown one time in all them weeks for all I know. But God said, I got the rocks and the stones off this thing and been capping it. And tomorrow, this is what he said, tomorrow, go see the butcher. I went down to the butcher. And I said, I need two old ham bones. We got two dogs disrupted the service last night. And God said for me to feed them and he'd lay them down. And I said, I want two of them. I said, what are they going to cost me? He said, nothing. Where's this tent meeting at? I got to see what's going to happen. He come to the service. I put them ham bones, Pastor. I put them right up underneath the doors here in a pulpit. We had people singing. We'd had them standing in the altar to sing. I was preaching. I was preaching off the back of a trailer. They'd give it like this. I got up there, and here come them dogs in. Everybody started paying attention to them dogs. I just reached down there, unfolded that napkin, headed down there to them old dogs. I laid one right down there at the front row. I laid one right down to the other side. One old dog grabbed his bone and laid down. The other one grabbed his bone. Man, they went to gnawing and licking. This is what God said. God said, I told you, boy, if you'll feed them, if you'll feed them, they'll come. If you feed them, I'll lay them down. If you feed them, I'll take care of them. Just feed them, amen. God said, I'll take care of them, amen. What's what I'll do? If you'll feed them, amen, I'll just let them eat it up. Glory to God. I want to say this to you, and I'll be done. In London, there are two boys that wanted to go hear Spurgeon preach. And they got there early because they knew thousands came to hear him preach. And they wanted to get a good seat. But when they got there, to their amazement, the doors were locked. Man, they were murmuring and complaining. And they stood there and a man walked up. He said, can I help you boys? You're here early tonight. And they said, we're visitors. We're just trying to get a good seat. Could you open the door and let us in? He said, nah, not this way. But I'll give you a tour of the church if you want to go around the back with me. And they said, well, we don't really care much about touring the church. We'd really just like to get a good seat. But if this is where Spurgeon preaches, must be a good place. Yeah, we'll go with you. So he took them around the back where the door was open, and they walked in. They said, boys, we're going to start right here. This is the boiler room. It's like, we don't really care anything about seeing the boiler room. We want to get upstairs to get a good seat. And he said, fellas, you'll allow us to open the door and let you. He opened the door. 350 people were on their face praying before the service in the boiler room. He said, this is where the heat comes from. This is where the power of God begins. This is where the flame gets lit. He said, it's good to meet you, boys. My name is Charles Spurgeon. Amen. We need to get back to praying. Oh, not if we need to. Praying in the prayer groves. Praying beside the bedside. Praying at work. We need to get to praying. Amen. One more time. We got to get back to praying. A friend of mine, he went down to the J&S cafeteria that's now closed. He was always good and faithful about giving out tracts. He prayed. I mean, prayer warrior. He went through. You can tell I've not eaten supper yet. He got him some country-style steak. Mashed potatoes, please. Ooh, a double dose. Oh, that's good. Gravy. Oh, I want the... Yeah, the brown will be okay, but I really want to watch. I'll just mix it up. I like it. Green beans, corn, cornbread, rolls, and big old nanner pudding. Got him some sweet tea to drink and got down to the end ready to pay. And when he did, the little girl, after he paid, grabbed his tray and said, sir, where would you like to sit? And he said, well, let's just walk right over here. Found a place, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out a tract as she set down the tray. And she was setting the items off. She set out his tea. And she said, there'll be anything else, sir? And he said, honey, can I pray for you about anything? I feel led to give you this tract. It was God's simple plan of salvation. And she looked at it and she said, thank you, mister. She began to weep. And she said, could you tell me about Jesus? Could you tell me about how to be saved? She said, mister, I married my boy from a bad accident last week. He was 9. He went to a Bible school, and he said to me, mama, I want you to go to church and get saved too, like I did, so one day we can go to heaven together. And she said, I went to that church, but nobody would really talk to me about Jesus. They told me they loved me. They told me they were praying for me, that God would comfort me, that I was young and I could have more children and all this junk. But nobody ever told me about Jesus, mister. She said, now, the whole J&S cafeteria stopped. And they're seeing this girl, this waitress, on her knees. And the man bowed down and he told her about a man. He told her about someone named Jesus who was on his heart. And he said he died on a cross for your boy and for me and for you. And he died to give his life a ransom for your sins. And they buried him. And the devil laughed and death mocked. But on the first day of the week, Jesus arose. And I believe that today, honey, he's speaking to your heart. She said, oh, preacher, I feel him. He's working in my... He said, honey, if you had been asking, he'd save you right here in the J&S cafeteria. You don't have to be in an altar. You don't have to be in a holy worship place. You can be in the J&S cafeteria. And that little girl asked Jesus in her heart and got gloriously saved. And one day she's going to see her little boy again. There's going to be a reunion when we get to heaven. I'm going to see a brother that I miss so bad. I'm going to see grandma and grandpa and preachers gone on. Glory to God. Listen, you ain't going to steal my shout when I get there. I'm going to have myself a Holy Ghost fit. I'm going to worship while the ages roll on. And I'm going to look back and say, I sure am glad when I went to Fletcher First Baptist on that night in August. I went down there with somebody on my heart, a burden in my soul. If I had to step on, I'd pray and lead a lot of fire under you to encourage you. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray, church. Would you stand to your feet tonight? That's what God had laid on my heart. I want to ask you, is there somebody on your heart? Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your preacher. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your Sunday school class. Maybe it's your choir. Maybe it's your church. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your health. I'm telling you, there's something tonight that's burned in your heart. And God said, I've heard tonight. And God wants to meet the need of the hour. Oh, folks are coming. Folks are coming. Oh, what about you? Is there somebody on your heart? Is there something you need to pray about tonight? Oh, bring it to him. Bring it to Jesus. I pray tonight that you'll pray about revival. That God would do a work in our hearts. That God would do a work in our lives tonight. Oh, youngins, let's pray. Our Father tonight, God. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. How you told us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You told us to pray without ceasing. Oh, God, we may not be able to run fast, but God, we ought to stand fast in prayer. Lord, we ought to be seeking your face. Lord, I want to confess to you my ineptness, my weakness. I want to confess to you, Lord, sins of omission, sins of commission, not praying, seeking your face just like we ought to. Oh, God, I have a desire to do so in my spirit, but my flesh wars against me. And God hinders the things that I would do, I do not. But God, I'm not making excuse. God, I'm confessing to you, Lord. I'm sinful, I'm weak. God, I want power with you, Lord. Lord, I want to get the throne room of a Most High God and bow on my face before you, Lord, and ask God that you'd touch our homes. God, you'd touch our churches. God, you'd touch our communities, Lord. You'd stir us one more time. God, you'd stir our nation, Lord. Help us tonight, God, I pray. Lord, I've got loved ones, Father. God, I've got friends. I've got family members, God. I've got enemies tonight, God, that need to be saved. Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost would convict them. Help us, God, to be a witness, effective to be praying for them, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might convict them and draw them to a place of salvation, that Jesus might be enthroned in their life and be reigning in their lives as Savior and Lord. God, I pray, Father, for the young people of the Fletcher First Baptist Church. Lord, I pray for these children, God, of these homes represented. I pray for the grandchildren, God, that these homes represent. worship God. They need to see a church that's on fire for God. A church that's praying and seeking God's face. And God, they need to know about a God who hears and a God who answers in His timeline and according to His will. God, I pray You'd meet with Your people. Do the unusual, God. Do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. One more time, Lord, I pray. And God, I ask You, Lord, You'd stir us, God. You'd help us tonight, God. Bless this dear pastor, God. Bless these dear people, Lord. Encourage their hearts. Help them tonight, God. Meet their needs, Lord. Do the unusual. Do the miraculous. God, do the great things sovereignly that only You can do. Work in our sister churches, God. Work in our community, Lord. And knit our hearts together once more that Your people may rejoice in You. God, we're asking Your help, Lord. We're asking it, not in our name. We're asking it, Lord, not in the name of a preacher, not in the name of the church, but God, we're asking You in the name that's above all names, in the name of our risen Savior, Lord, our blood-stained Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Oh, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Oh, God.